HarperCollins presents Beak, Tooth and Claw by Mary Colwell. Read by Mary Colwell. Introduction. As ravenous wolves come swooping down on lambs or kids to snatch them away from right amidst their flock, so the Achaeans maul the Trojans. The term predator is usually ascribed to large meat-eaters, such as birds of prey, wolves and big cats, and is derived from praedator, the Latin for plunderer. Predation, a verb to describe hunting and killing for food, comes from predare, to rob. The word predator, therefore, means a thief that steals life, and predation is the act of plundering and pillaging. These harsh definitions evoke immorality and ruthlessness, and appear in ancient literature to portray violent human behaviour, a dominant force attacking and consuming the weak and vulnerable. The Roman poet Ovid describes the rape of the mythical goddess Philomela by her brother-in-law Tereus as an act of predation. The captive has no chance to escape, and the raptor sits eyeing his prey. She, Philomela, trembled like a quivering lamb, who, after it has been wounded and then spat out by a grey wolf, cannot yet believe it is safe. Or like a dove whose feathers are smeared with its own blood, and who still shudders with fear of those greedy talons that pierced her skin. Writing in the pre-modern era, James Tyrrell, in his 1697 History of England, uses a word which has predation at its root, depredations, to describe an English army setting out to repel a violent Scottish invasion. The Yorkshiremen, being resolved to put a stop to these depredations, raised an army of about 10,000 men. In modern vernacular, the term predator has been appropriated to describe someone who hunts down a victim for sex or even murder. Throughout time, we have used the natural behaviour of wild creatures by analogy to impose moral judgment. And although we think of our 21st century selves as enlightened, rational and scientific, the ancient idea that ruthless predators attack innocent victims still has a hold on the popular imagination. Contradictions swirl around predators. We may fear and often revile them, but we also admire their beauty and strength. Beguiled by their fur or their plumage, we have stripped these from their bodies and fashioned them into coverings for our own skins, often to convey status, wealth, and sex appeal. For thousands of years, we have folded our dreams and our flaws into predator pelts, playing with the image of ourselves. If we don't literally inhabit their skins, we take on their image. Big cats, eagles and bears, creatures we associate with dominance and courage, commonly adorn heraldic shields and advertising billboards. Predators, the world over, hold our stories. Even the way we speak and convey ideas is bound to our concept of predators. They weave through our speech as metaphor and simile, casting light onto human nature. Sly as a fox, eagle-eyed, a wolf in sheep's clothing, political hawks and doves, brave as a lion. And yet our primal fear of predators and the damage they can cause to both our bodies and our livelihoods can provoke such intense emotions that we drive them to extinction. They are too in-your-face, too disruptive, too damaging, simply too much like us to be tolerated. Predators, large and small, are the most persecuted creatures on earth. They always have been, and still are, gods or vermin, heroes or villains. There is nothing straightforward about how we use the terms predator and predation. They are redolent with meaning beyond the necessity of killing to eat. The pure biological definition is much broader and simpler. Predators kill other living creatures for all or part of their diet. This applies to vast swathes of life on Earth, including some plants. Sharks, peregrines and wolves are predators, but so too are minnows, blue tits and dormice. But as the complex emotional and cultural beings that we are, we have discarded the biological definition and formed our own human-centred categorisation, which holds on to vestiges of the past associations.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?